Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and we're broadcasting from the Speaker's Lobby at the State Capitol in Pierre. And joining me is Speaker of the House, Dean Wink. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for the invitation.
And Democratic leader, State Senator Billy Sutton. Thanks for being here as well, Senator.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start, and we're about a month out from the kickoff of the legislative session. So Representative Wink, we'll start with you. Let's talk a little bit about some of the legislative priorities that you anticipate.
Okay. Before getting to that, if I could just bring you maybe up to date on how we're doing on the 2016 budget.
2016, fiscal year 2016
budget?
We're about
40%, 41% through the budget year, and we're running about the same as far as expenditures. So that's we're kind of online that way. Revenue numbers are running a little ahead of what we expected. At the end of the session, we usually come up with some revenue projections, and most of the time they've been pretty conservative, and we didn't know for sure what was going to be happening with the ag economy. So this year was it was the same thing, but we're running actually a little bit above projections, and most of that was due to the sales and use tax is up a little over 4%. Contractors' excise tax is up over 3%, and the video lottery is up over 4.75%. So we're kind of in line from where we projected, and that's a good thing. So we're doing okay, and hopefully we can continue in the 2017 budget with staying online. And the South Dakota has a history of being pretty fiscally conservative in their projections, so that we don't get into a situation where we have to come back and either do cuts or come up with some other revenue. So far, so good.
If there is excess revenue at the end of fiscal year 2016, what happens? Does it just automatically go to the rainy day fund? Can we go shopping?
Yeah, I think some of the agencies and departments, if they have overage, it reverts back, and it goes into the general fund, and then I think there's a formula there where some of it goes into reserves if it's over a certain percentage or something like that. But yeah, it's reverted back, and I think in the past, I think the state agencies have really done an excellent job of reverting back money that they haven't used, and that just, you know, like you say, it just puts more money in for the next year.
And the anticipation for fiscal year 2016, we're fiscally sound in South Dakota?
We are. Much better than many of the other states. One thing that your listeners should be aware of, our state retirement fund. We are at the top one or two or three states where our retirement fund we're funded at 103%. Many states are only funded at 50 or 60%. So when their state employees or their teachers retire, I'm not sure what some of those states are going to do, but we're at 103%, so we're in pretty good shape that way.
Senator Sutton, any conflict or disagreement with where we're at fiscally in South Dakota?
No, I don't disagree too much with my friend, Mr. Wink. We seem to get along on quite a bit. Things seem to be looking good for the next session as far as, you know, when we're talking about the budget and the dollars that we're going to have available. One thing that is interesting is our FMAP rate is probably going to change. And what that means is that's the matching rate that we have with the federal government when it comes to Medicaid spending. And so it's based on personal income levels and an average of the last 3 years. Well, we've seen now that 2011 has dropped out of that average, and that's when personal income was so high in South Dakota, especially for ag producers.
Oh.
And so with that dropping out, it actually decreases the amount that we have to match for our Medicaid match with the federal government. So that saves us probably around, you know, a little over $20 million that is now going to be able to be used moving forward is some of the projections that we've seen.
For 3 years at least?
Since 2011 dropped out, and the way that personal income is probably going to continue to decrease a little bit, the way that crop prices have been. And I suspect that it'll probably even drop a little more in the next couple of years. About every percent that FMAP rate drops that we have to pay is around $8 million that we have to pay, something like that.
We were approaching the maximum that the states have to pay. It's the maximum is 50%. And I think we, this last year, we were like at 48% or something like that. And so we're going to drop down maybe
2.5%.
2.5%. So like Senator Sutton said, we're going to be have some money that we haven't had in the past, and unfortunately that's due to the to our standard of living going down a little bit, and I think a lot of that was the ag prices. The commodity prices were exceptionally high there a few years ago, and they're dropping down into more normal ranges, I think, at this point. And so hopefully that'll level off and we don't go any lower, because it's been pretty tough on some of the ag producers. That commodity prices, grain prices are down, cattle prices are down, but ag land property taxes have gone up quite a bit the last 4 or 5 years. So the ag producers are kind of getting squeezed, and so hopefully we can help remedy that a little bit.
Which is kind of interesting that we've seen our sales tax revenues kind of keep increasing at a pretty good clip when crop prices have dropped, and maybe you would expect that people aren't going out and spend as much money.
Mm-hmm.
I think there has been an effect in the ag world, but the rest of our economy has kind of picked up the slack, it seems like.
And is helping.
Yeah.
So when you get word that there is possibly a little extra money, how does it work among lawmakers as to how to allocate that money?
Well, we have caucus discussions when we find out what the if there's any or some money left over, and we try and set up priorities on, or get a feel for what the caucus thinks is the most important things. And then in the waning days, when we deal with education and Medicaid the last week or so, and we get that squared away, and then we have our priority set, and then it's just a matter of negotiation as far as if we can agree on where that money can be spent at that time.
So you wait until the end of the session?
It'll probably be near the end, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it, when that money becomes available, as we're here today for the governor's budget address, the governor will propose what his priorities are, and then the legislature will take that map, if you will, and decide what we agree with, what we don't agree with, and, each, both sides of across the aisle will decide, what their priorities are, and then, we'll work through that. And hopefully everybody wins a little bit, but you just never know from year to year.
Most of it happens, though, in joint appropriations and caucus, right?
Yeah.
For the most part?
Yeah.
For the most part.
We are trying to tweak the budget, the appropriations process a little bit, because historically it's always gone down the last almost 48 hours,
right,
before the final decisions are made. And so instead of taking the March receipts, projections, we're going to drop back 30 days to the February, and so it's going to give legislators a little bit more time to deliberate on some of the special appropriations bills and on the governor's what his requests are and so on. So it's going to give us more time, we think, and that'll help us quite a bit.
More time to look at it a little
right,
closer?
Yeah, and the individual agencies will be coming in, and the legislators then can sit in on the appropriations process, and it's going to be extending it out over a two-week period of time instead of 48 hours. So,
I can only wish that they would have done that when I was on appropriations. Sure, they waited till I got off. I was on there for 4 years and spent a lot of time in those last couple of days of session, debating,
right,
50 to 100 G-bill amendments. And hopefully this cuts down on that process quite a bit. And it, in my mind, it's going to be a good change. It's going to give us a lot more time. It's going to create a lot more transparency within the budget. And it's going to give us more time to look at those revenue projections. You back it up a month, that gives you a whole nother month of determining what numbers we should be using and why we're using those numbers.
Yeah.
Now, Senator Sutton, you sat in on the Blue Ribbon Task Force this summer, right? I guess
yep.
We're summer. Will we get a proposal from the governor today, or is this going to be a lawmaker, legislator-introduced legislation?
I probably won't speak for the governor. I suspect that he will potentially lay out a plan with the state of the state.
Okay.
I don't know that he's going to talk about it today. I think there's some other pressing issues that maybe he wants to talk about today. But it will, there will be a proposal from his office, I'm sure, when session starts. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of other legislators that are looking to throw a plan out there too. I know from our side of the aisle, we're working on a plan right now, and we suspect that we're going to have a plan at that time as well.
Okay.
It appears that education is going to be the main topic of conversation this year. Last year we dealt with infrastructure, and we kind of reached I think many legislators found a tipping point where the gas tax that was established in 1999, 22 cents, it was only buying 10 cents worth of repairs and construction. And that was just, we were going backwards, and that was just not sustainable. And I think this year, the legislators, I don't know if it's going to be, you know, a majority or not, but I know there's a lot more buzz as far as the importance of education and what we can do. We're going backwards as far as our difference between what our teachers are paid and what other states. We used to be, just a few years ago, there was a difference of $2,000. Now it's $8,000. And so, you know, that's not sustainable in order to recruit good young kids to get into the teaching profession. We want to, you know, we've got our kids on the line, and the most important thing in learning is having great teachers, and so we have to try and support that situation, and we'll see. It'll be an interesting discussion.
Do you think there's enough support to make a change this year?
I really couldn't tell you at this point, you know.
I hope so. This is something that we've been talking about for a lot of years, and it's great to hear. There's really a change over the last two or three years in how we've viewed this problem, and we've come a long ways, and that's what I'm excited about, is that there is a groundswell movement here to put a focus on education for this session, and we just need to keep up that momentum, and we need to solve this problem and solve it adequately. And I think that if we can just all get around the table and have reasonable discussions, and the governor's office can be on board, and both sides of the aisle can be on board, we're going to make some big changes here. And you know, I'm pretty hopeful.
And do you believe the task force report, the Blue Ribbon Task Force report, is the starting point, is the jumping off point, that we all believe this is true?
For the most part, I mean, I was on that task force. You know, there was some disagreement. There were some big areas that we couldn't come to consensus on that are going to be really important to the process here, because that's going to determine the dollar amount that's needed. That's going to, you know, determine what our average teacher pay should be in South Dakota. And so it is a starting point. I hope that we can be a little more aggressive than some of the starting points in this report. At least that's going to be our focus, is to go a little farther than just the minimum that was proposed in some of these areas. But it's a good starting point. I mean, like I said just a minute ago or so, that there has been a movement here and more focus on this topic than ever before in my time, my 5 years in legislature. And, you know, I'm excited about it.
You know, the devil's going to be in the details,
sure,
as usual. How much revenue is needed? Should it be one lump sum this year, or can it be a spread out over 3 or 4 years? Where is it going to come from? Can we get it from some other source, or does it need new revenue as far as taxes? The pushback is going to come. You know, we raised taxes last year, the gas tax, mm-hmm, and so on, and for legislators that want to get reelected, you know.
Can't really do it 2 years in a row?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see. I mean, I think there's going to be a need to have a great argument for it in order to get something done. And so, it's like I say, it's always in the details of how much and where it's coming from.
Well, I think that's one thing that this plan really did a good job, or the Blue Ribbon Report really did a good job of, is laying out the need, in my opinion. You know, we really showed what other states pay. You know, we really dug into the details of where are our teachers going? What does our pipeline look like? What's the future of teachers in South Dakota, and how do we get them to a pay level that's competitive with our surrounding states? So I think that's one thing the report did a really good job of, is laying out that need. And so it's going to be important that we as a legislative body really look at that information and take it in, mm-hmm, and decide that, you know what, there is a need and we need to move forward with the plan.
The first few meetings that the task force had, I think they spent a lot of time in trying to get the data, because there were a lot of anecdotal stories out there of where we were and why we're there and so on. So I think that they did a really good job of finding out how many teachers are we producing, how many are leaving the state, how many are coming into the state, and so on. So I think they've got some facts now that we can count on, and I thought they did an excellent job.
And that's what I meant by what they have in here, mm-hmm, as facts, that lawmakers are willing to just accept that as true.
Well,
and move forward.
And that's always been our trouble in the past, sure, I think, is that when we've talked about it, we've talked a lot anecdotally. You know, mm-hmm, when we had this roads and bridges discussion last year, we actually laid out, here's the dollars we're going to need, here's why we need it, here's what it's going to fix. And we've never really done that before in education, at least in my opinion. And with this report, I think we have. I think we've laid out a report that says, here's the need, here's what we need to do, and now we need to figure out how to do it.
Can we do the same thing with Medicaid expansion? A lot of anecdotal hearsay on that as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts with Medicaid expansion at this point. You know, last year I think the governor asked for a waiver on some aspects of Medicaid expansion, and it was rejected. This year, I think that the that there's talk, and I'm sure the governor will get into it more in his presentation. I think the federal government has come around and maybe is willing to do more things this year to get states to buy into the Medicaid expansion, what they did last year. So it'll be interesting to see what the governor has to say about that.
Okay. Personally, priorities for the next legislative session?
For me, my personal priority right now is Medicaid expansion. I'm glad you mentioned it because me along with other legislators in our caucus have been working along with the governor's office over the last 9 months or so and having conversations with the federal government, with HHS, to figure out what a workable solution is. And I think we're really close to that solution. I think you're going to hear some about that today in the budget address, and it's really an exciting time for this discussion about Medicaid expansion, something that we've been pushing for since it became available.
Okay. Representative?
As Speaker, my focus is not necessarily on individual bills, but on the process. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that all bills are presented. They get a fair hearing in the committees and on the in the either chamber floor, you know, and so on. So I try and focus on the process, make sure that everything's done correctly, and everybody can at the end of the day can say my bill either won or lost, but at least it got a fair hearing.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you both for taking time and coming on the program today, and we look forward to continuing this conversation through March.
Thank you for your invitation.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks
very much. Speaker of the House Dean Wink and Senator Billy Sutton. And when we come back, we'll talk with Secretary of Game, Fish, and Parks Kelly Hepler. You're listening to Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.